Well, hello and welcome to Timmy G's Time Machine. Who have I got in there this week? The great Mark Tyler. Now, let me give you a little bit of a rundown on this bloke. 174 games for the Port Adelaide Football Club, 395 goals, leading goal kicker three times, and also the Ken Farmer medalist, but leading goal kicker in the league twice. So this man sits here, premiership player, and I'm about to delve a little bit deeper to find out how did he get here, because quite frankly, it's questionable. Hello, Mark, and welcome. How are you?
Hi, Timmy, and thanks for being the inaugural player in the vault, in the time machine. Yeah,
very good. Very good of you to do that. Now, let's just go back to where it all began. First of all, where'd you grow up? Because the funny thing about this is people assume that we know so much about our past players, but it's funny when you get in there that they don't. So where did you grow up? And give us a little bit of an insight into that upbringing.
Brought up down Osborne. Yep. Mum and Dad still living in the same place I was born in, sort of thing. And hung around the Taparoo area, went to Taparoo Primary School and Taparoo College of Further Education a little bit as I went into high school. So
yes. And what sort of people were at that school at the time?
Well,
there what was, sort of Rhodes scholars were there?
Well, Rowan Smith spent a bit of time there in detention. Some other players, Roger Delaney, when he had a tuft of hair, he was there. Michael O'Brien went there, and a few of the lads.
It was a pretty good sporting school, wasn't it?
Yeah, we did quite well. I think we made the grand final of the Pizza Hut Cup one year, which is very prestigious back in the day.
It was, wasn't it?
Especially because we were playing against the private schools.
That's right, yeah. And because the first prize was all you could eat, wasn't it?
Yeah, and what more inspiration did I need?
But you majored in shoplifting when you were there?
Yeah, and cars. I dabbled in cars a bit.
But to be fair, it was working class area.
Yeah, and, you know, probably a heartland of the Port area, sorts of suburbs.
Part of the peninsula, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah. So a fantastic tie, but a fantastic place to be brought up in, really.
Let's go back to, because your junior footy days, early days, were Taparoo, weren't they? And Taparoo was massive. It's now situated where the North Haven Football Club is, but there were so many kids in that area. And I remember playing in that junior footy league, Port Adelaide Junior Football League. But there was Taparoo Peckers, Taparoo Tigers, Taparoo Demons. There was so many, wasn't there, because there were so many kids.
Yeah, it was a new area as well. Osborne had just been built. There was new houses and that sort of thing, a growing area. So you had the likes of Ethelden had teams. Port Districts, which was
Semi-Centrals
Exeter. And Exeter, Rosewater, Portland was then Riverside. And you also had Alberton United there as well. Obviously. And those guys just outside the peninsula were Semaphore Park.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The old Egg and Sauce.
Egg and Sauce. Jeez, what a Guernsey that was. Now, still have one of that. You obviously go through the juniors there. When were you invited up to the Oval? Because the system in those days, there wasn't an under-15s until, I think, 1981. Before that, it was basically you played junior footy at your local club right up until, say, 16s, and then there was Port, 17s, 19s, reserves league, wasn't it? When did you come up to the Oval?
We did play some things like they were called the Sandboy Cup and, again, food. Which was another kept me motivated. Sandboy Cup and those under-13s and that sort of thing. Again, Robert Smith, Greg Anderson and that played through those periods.
Well, we played in that
grand final.
We won it.
So we did that, and under-15s was another pathway that was used back then. And then probably got invited out to the 17s from there. I was still playing at Taparoo there. Missed the cut early on, and then Mickey Gates was the coach back then. Mickey Gates. I moved to Port Districts and was playing under-17s there, first year under-17s there, and it came to the end of the year. and towards finals, and I'd been playing some good school footy, and Brian Cunningham was our coach, science teacher and coach.
At Taparoo of Advanced Taparoo Education, yeah.
So had been playing some good footy. I think I kicked 8 goals on Hutts one day out of the middle.
That's David Hutton. Obviously became a teammate.
He says it was only 5, but I reckon it was 8. 8 to 10.
Geez,
but
easy target.
He was playing for West Lakes at the time, but I'm sure that'll get back. So I played there. Mick Gates came to me on a Sunday morning and said, "Are you interested in coming back and, you know, having another go?" Missed out early. I said, "When do I start?"
Yeah.
So and then from then on, from virtually playing that end of the season and finals, been at Port Adelaide since virtually 16
years of age.
As a whole group of us really were.
So. I'll get onto that core group of people because it was a great road, because we did play in that under 15 premiership together, and it's amazing, you know, you go through life from that moment onwards, and we played against each other in those junior days. But your road has never been easy, and I think it's the great story that I think I love about, you know, and I see some of the social media stuff that Port Adelaide fans do. They talk about the unsung heroes. I think you're one of those great blokes that sit in that category where your praises just haven't been sung enough for what you were able to achieve with the knockbacks that you had. And people don't quite understand that the point one, I was knocked back from the under 17s. It's not as if, oh, you were just floated in and off you went from there. You actually had to work your way back. And through your league career, it wasn't easy either. And I found that you were an incredibly consistent player. You hardly ever got injured, did you? I mean, how many games would you have averaged missing?
But no, it's probably more towards the end that I got injured. It wouldn't be more than 10, I think.
And one of those was
a big one with a broken arm where I was a bit frustrated with someone. And it was my own doing. So not too many. And that's what they were. They're probably more breaks than muscle injuries or anything like that. So.
Incredible. And, you know, shoulders and right. And the days of the full forwards coming out and getting absolutely thumped and king it and you name it, that was the era that you played in. So tell us about the early days of trying to break in and some of your performances in the reserves. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but was it 7 goals in the 88 reserves grand final, the premiership?
In the
grand final?
Nine.
I told you, apologies. But it's an enormous amount of goals.
Yeah.
We had a massive victory, set up the day for the double, which not too many clubs achieve.
No.
To be able to win the league and the reserves, mate, it makes a magnificent party back here, as we know. But for that to be set up, and you kicked 9 goals in a grand final, it's an amazing achievement. What were your memories of that day? Because a great bunch of blokes in that team.
Yeah, fantastic day. And I think at Port Adelaide, through those late 80s and onwards, we probably had a reserve side. Such was the competitiveness to be in our league side that would have beaten a few of the lower league sides at the time. And there was that want and desire to be involved. I started playing league footy in 85. Had an early a few goes early on there. Tim Evans and that were playing at the time, and probably was a little bit probably my biggest problem early on was a little bit of self doubt and those sorts of things. So. Going on and continuing to play well in the twos, just kept on getting that bit of confidence, played in that prelim in 87 where we missed out by a couple of hit the posts and that sort of thing. So, but that 88 day, that 88 day was fantastic. There was a huge buzz around the club. Our first real grand final as a whole group together at senior type level, and to go out there and win and win well like we did, was fantastic, and at a few of those names did go on eventually to play in league premierships. But just the buzz around the club and the excitement was fantastic. It was the start of a big journey, I suppose, for the club at the time, but the end of a little bit of a hard road for a group of people that, you know, through 84, with the boys had missed out on the grand final winning it, as you'd know, but 85, the club was in a bit of trouble, and we were the guys that all grouped together and went to the where's that pub at North Adelaide and rattled the tins
the old line, we went there
and the club was in big trouble then. Yeah. And so everyone stuck tough, and I think that made us stronger as a group of people, and enjoyed each other's company. And to get to the 88, start of a very impressive era, but just desserts for all those people that were involved.
What about that particular time you're talking about when the club announced, I think at the end of 83, that if everybody doesn't take a 50% pay cut, the club goes broke? That was Bob McLean delivering that message. We weren't playing, so we thought 50% of nothing's nothing. Yeah. We're happy with that. We'll roll with it. But we were a little surprised, all of us, with our first contract, which we were told everybody signs.
Yeah.
So the core guys that you're talking about, Delaney, me, you, Rowan Smith, yep, George Fiacci, you name it, Wayne Marnie, we all got the same contract. And from memory, I think the first year for a league game was $75 less tax.
Yep.
Second year, $85 less tax.
Yep.
I think third year, maybe $110
yep
less tax.
Yep.
So you could play well, terrific football, you could be in the best... You could be best of Paris. It wouldn't matter. You're still getting $75 less tax.
Yeah.
But we all signed it, didn't we?
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. Bang.
Three
years deal, just done on the table.
Signed away. Done to you, 21.
Yeah. Well, 20. We would have been 21. Yeah. And Darryl Borlase, another one. Yep. I remember him saying, did you sign that? I said, yeah, I signed it. We all just did it. But it was incredible to get through that period and into those good years. Now, you'll remember this distinctly, and we had two cracks at it, trying to get in the AFL.
Hmm.
What are your memories of that moment when the club announces we're going to have a crack in 1990? I mean, for me, it was surreal.
Yeah, it was a fantastic time. I think they set us down in the change rooms there, and nothing's much has changed in that area there. And set us down and spoke about it. I think Bruce Weber was the one who announced it. Fantastic man, and got fantastic just desserts on the gala night, the 150 gala night. It was fantastic to see him get that response from the crowd and that. But set us all down, and all of a sudden, we're half chance to play in the AFL at that time. So it's exciting times. You're thinking, am I going to get an opportunity? Am I not going to get an opportunity? And it was just a real exciting time for the whole group, whether you were just starting out or midway through and still going all right. So, yeah, if it had been a bit earlier, it might have been a couple more opportunities for that group of people that came through.
From that moment onwards, it's what I call the crusade years, where we're trying to win the second licence. And from me, rightly, the pressure's on to win the flag every year. And we knew that. That was the bottom line. But we thought we were going to win it every year anyway. That was our expectation. Why do you do pre-season otherwise and put up with idiots like David Armfield, quite frankly? So I knew if we were going to do pre-season, then we might as well try and win the flag. So that pressure was on. And from our point of view, it was no dramas. But through those early 90s, AFL comes in, you become the focal point. Could you have had like two better years at full forward? 92, 93, you kick 97 before breaking your hand in 92, you win the Ken Farmer medal, you back it up again in 93. Can you just describe those 2 years for yourself? Just were they the peak of your form?
Yeah, as obviously, A-grade level, yes. But I'll take you back a year, probably in 91, about round 14, 15, Tommy Garland had come to me after a game.
Tom Garland played in the 50s. He was one part of the six in a row. He was our chairman of selectors at the time.
And he came over to me on a Monday night and had told me at that stage, look, Mark, we don't see you playing league football with us again.
Wow.
That was in 1991. But we, you know, we're happy for you to finish out the year, but you'll be playing in the twos and finish the year like that.
Wow.
Which was a big wake-up call.
Wow. That was a slap.
Yeah, a big slap, but it was probably what I needed. I just floated along, happy to be a part of it, but not happy to be...
Drive yourself.
Into it, being part of the people that are driving it. Next week, I dropped to the twos, kicked a heap in the reserves. I think I kicked a heap for the next 2 weeks in the reserves, and bugger me dead, I went back into the league, and from then on went through and stayed in the league. Got to 92, had a good pre-season.
It's a secret, isn't it?
Again, it took, probably it was a time where I had to start taking myself serious.
Yeah.
So other people take you serious and do the hard yards. Did that, had a good pre-season, that sort of thing. I think Choco played the first couple at full forward in the league side. And I reckon he kicked a couple and that sort of thing. But then an opportunity came. I think obviously Scotty was at the Crows then and doing that. So an opportunity came. And played, and from it just clicked, just went for it, and probably that telling me that I wasn't going to make it back then took a I'm just going to go for it, and did that, and fantastic next couple of years, and even going into 93, and then playing the year in 94. And that premiership, but then back again in 95, going back to full forward again, having, 50 goals after about 11 games, and then had a bad foot injury. So there was probably two injuries that really really hurt me. But
just going back to 93, the beginning of 93, we play a game against Collingwood. Now, you've come off the back of your Kem Farmer year. You're in great form. We play Collingwood in a game which we thought we were going to wear a different Guernsey because we're trying to make the AFL. We play them at night. We run out. We're both in black and white. It was incredible, wasn't it? We've had a pretty good go at it. I think we lost by 5 or 6 points. It wasn't much in it. But you had a bloke on your, they used to call the blanket, I think.
Mickey Gaffer. Premiership player.
Yeah, premiership Collingwood. Player. How many did you kick, mate?
Six. Six goals, four.
Did you? Is it true you ruined his career?
Yeah, well, I think he thought long and hard about retiring. He probably played another year, but it was great.
And it showed the form you were in, I reckon.
It was a huge night and an opportunity. You know, you get those opportunities to play against Geelong. We played year earlier or so, and then Essendon a couple of times. I was lucky enough to kick four on Glenn Manton. Then again, fullback with Carlton.
Yeah.
Grand final, a premiership player. It was a good time and an opportunity to try and prove yourself and do well. So it worked out. But the jumpers. I don't know. There was only one or two of us that seemed to get mixed up.
Yeah.
Paul Zonico coming out of the back line.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times he kicked to the opposition.
Well, he did play for Collingwood.
So
that's probably why.
Yeah. So it was a good night, and the crowd. I think there was a huge crowd for the first summer game. So
amazing. It was good times. Let's get into 94. As we know, Scotty's at the Crows for that period of time and he's had enough. He wants to come back. Can you tell me, because I suddenly see in the next trial game, you're playing in defence and Scotty's at full forward. Tell me about the conversation you had with Jack, because my understanding is that you initiated it.
Yeah, it was 94, I'm getting up we were all getting up around 28, and the success, whilst you're glad of it, you want a piece of it.
Yeah.
And you know, for what, you know, those injury reasons, it was either injury or form. I don't blame anyone other than that's life.
Yep.
I wasn't up, my form wasn't right, or there was that injury in 92 that which cost me. I was right to play, I'd played, but that's life. I wasn't picked. 94 comes along, you know, the opportunity to play in another position. I'd played back line a bit early on, and at a few games, Jack had played me in the back line off the half-back flank. I said, so...
I think in 89 you played like 11 or 12 in the back pocket or something,
So we spoke about it, and it was virtually a conversation around, you know, if Scotty's coming back, you know, and it's not working there, I can go into the back line, and I want to be a part of this. I need to be a part of this now. And we spoke about it. There came a time we did work together a bit early on. You know, I still kicked 30 odd goals in that year, and I think Scotty went on to kick 100. He had a fair few, so it wasn't working too bad. But there was a day early on in the season where someone had got a little bit off the lead a bit, and I went back there and stood him and did well and calmed him down a bit, and you know, and we won and did well. And then from, you know what Jack's like, once something works, he'll keep guard and work with it. And luckily enough, the fitness levels and all those sort of things from my point of view are up and doing the right thing. And it worked. And funnily enough, that 94 season, there was only two people, Keezy's told me this, that played the whole season without injury or whatever. It was me and Scotty.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Yeah. So, and it was just huge.
So, the game itself, you get to there, you've played in big games and performed. How are you feeling the day of 94? We're rank outsiders. We hung on till about three quarter time, but got smashed in the second semi. We fight back through the prelim. We get to this day. This is the big day. You're out there, and all of a sudden, we're six down. What was going through your mind? Because I know what was going through mine.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, Tippy, it was just about making sure we were doing our job down in the back line. We were all, you know, talking.
Well, you weren't, because we were six down.
I thought it was coming out of the midfield too easy.
Probably right.
But the fact was, you know, you never give in. I don't think the thought of losing never entered my mind at the time. It was just a positive reinforcement to each other, keep going and do what we've done all along.
Yeah.
It'll turn. The game turns. And we started to get a bit more physical with them, and we really worked hard on them and just chipped away. And then, you know, you started that fight there.
I was allegedly brutally attacked, thank you.
Allegedly, yeah. Well, you
defending
responded.
My honour.
You responded.
Yeah, responded.
And just changed that little. We got that goal or two to settle down. Scotty took a great mark, and we just responded and just settled the game down. And then it was just a war of attrition. We just scratched them back.
What about three quarter time? We come in. I felt like there's an incredible buzz that was happening. It was almost as if the crowd didn't shut down.
Mm.
And that's the great thing about our people is they drive us, don't they, into success. Yep. I remember coming into the huddle and the buzz was just so high that it was almost, we didn't want the huddle to happen. We just wanted to go straight back out into that game.
Mm.
That last quarter happens and we've all seen it. The momentum is just one-way city. At one stage, I'm waiting for Scotty to line up and I look over and there's Delaney, Fiacci, and even you'd pop there for a little look. And I said, what are you blokes doing here? And he said, well, it's bloody boring back there. how did it go for you guys? Because that onslaught early, but then the last quarter, it is all down one end. Did you just feel like, because I know you were our stay-at-home back, but even you were popping up for having a look.
Yeah, look, I thought the third quarter, you talk about the momentum. Yeah. I thought as a group, we really, they had a real go. And I thought we repelled them. We got to within a goal or so, two goals, and the momentum was there. And to go in, like you said, everyone was up. We didn't need a break. But we'd done it the hard way.
Yeah.
We'd gone through, we played every game.
Four finals.
Yeah. And, you know, we go back out and to watch that, you know, the Scotty show. And, you know, Scotty that day, and you got to pay him homage on for that day. Things weren't going well for him early, but he kept on doing the basics. And I've spoken to people that I've coached. You keep tackling. You keep chasing.
Yeah.
He kept on doing those things and willed himself back into the game.
Yeah.
And then when we got on top through the middle and that sort of thing, he was there. He was in the game.
Get the reward.
His mind was in the game and he got their reward. And to watch it was magnificent. Again, yeah, I had to stand Rogers' man, George's man. I reckon even Darryl Waitland started going down. So someone had to stay at home.
Exactly.
But
there was a funny moment in the last quarter where the game's just about over. When we know we've won, I think you've got a free kick or something. You've tried to handball to Roger. Please, what happened there? Because I thought you'd had a cerebral meltdown. Or something.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I knew this would come up because this is the most, you know, it's the best day,
moments,
the best day of my football career, and the most embarrassing moment of my football career. What happened was I ran down one of their faster players and tackled him to the ground. Got hold of the ball.
You were lucky.
Yeah, gave him one in the back of the head and got up and. I knew it was close. Tearing up.
You were tearing up.
I'm crying and this sort of thing. Rogers called for the ball about 30 seconds beforehand.
As usual.
And I'm still going back, telling them what I'm going to do that night, telling the opposition what I'm going to do that night and how dare they print up shirts and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the umpire blows the whistle. Oh. So I've gone to handball to Rogers. Rogers already turned his back on me and ignored me already. So it was my fault, and it was just delayed reaction. And
rushed behind.
Yeah, rushed behind. Yeah, and about 30 seconds later, the siren went.
Classic. So. Loved it. You've spoken about a few of your teammates already and how the relationships we have still today are so strong. I have to dispel an absolute myth that went around that you and Scotty just didn't get along. And people surmise that because of the full forward thing. Yet anything could be further from the truth.
Hmm.
And the way you've always handled that relationship has been fantastic, to the point where, you know, we go away to his shack and have a few beers down the Edithburg pub. But that was, it was a rumour in those early 90s that used to just didn't get along, but it was so far from the truth, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think we could be as successful as a club at a group if everyone was, you know, worried about what the other bloke was doing and blaming someone else for not succeeding or not getting into a position. Everyone just had a fierce desire to get a position.
Yeah.
But they didn't blame anyone else but themselves.
Yeah.
And that's the difference, I believe, between us and other clubs. It never was about your teammates. It's about you individually, what you had to do to get into that team and stay a part of that team. And, you know, there was one rumour, and it was interesting, that the 92, when I broke my hand, the rumour was that, Scotty had caught me jumping his fence and... I broke my hand in a blue with Scotty at that time, but nothing could be further from the truth, you know.
I remember you breaking it. It was in the game.
Yeah, Craig Barham kicked it. Oh. I think I was doing the 1%ers, doing a smother and that sort of thing. So. just stupid stuff like that. And those sorts of rumours just carry and carry and carry. It's rubbish, yeah. You know. Never had that issue and never will.
Yeah.
We are at this club, we're all brothers and we always will be.
Some of those moments, you said, you know, we're incredibly tight as a group. We used to have what was called a players' concert. You used to feature quite heavily. What's maybe the best act that you think you put together in a players' concert? Because I might be able to provide some photos for the audience to have a look at. But I remember we'd have 10 acts. I'd be in 9 of them and still not win. But I remember you were one that loved getting in an act as well. And we had a couple of good ones together. Yeah. You know, ABBA was one I can remember.
Yeah, the ABBA one was good. We did a Kiss one.
I think that was the best one for
that me. Yeah. And we got an encore with that. And,
you wasted it.
Yeah.
We got it.
But it was that. And
About OH&S, which I don't think we knew at the time, the lead singer, Gene Simmons,
Stephen Ross.
What did he do on stage?
He actually breathed fire, but from a fly spray can. So we
spray can
lit it up
like that and blew out the flame. It was unbelievable.
So no OH&S. Nah, I don't know what that stood for back then.
Couldn't even spell it.
But great times. And again, you know, with the amount of people at those shows come to watch us be idiots.
We'd be banned
and enjoy ourselves.
It'd be banned today.
It would be. You wouldn't get away with it.
Geez, good fun. Just to finish off, mate, give us like somebody you really respected as an opponent. Give us a teammate that you really admired, and just tell us about the footy club and what it means to you.
Someone that as a fullback, fullback, probably Paddo. Patterson was quite good. Always hard and around you, that sort of thing. Admired player. So many, you know, when we first come up as a 17, 18-year-old to do your first pre-season, to be there with Bomber, Tim Evans and those sorts of things, to play with Greg Phillips, Mark Williams for a couple of years and all those sorts of things was
huge. Because we grew up watching them, didn't we?
We grew up watching them through those late 80s and late 70s, 70. Sorry, and those three in a row, and to watch those guys. And then all of a sudden, you know, Max James came back in 84 to be playing and training with Max was fantastic. And yourself, Timmy, fantastic as a leader and, you know.
That's the only reason you're on this
show. Why were you kicking me under the table? But Timmy, a fantastic leader and, you know, got the utmost out of your body and your football and to be one of our greatest captains of all time is a pleasure to count you as a good mate and a teammate. So, and what was the other
one?
The club
itself.
You know, I look back and it shapes, you know, if you've been here a long time and we were there here from when we were 16 virtually on a full-time sort of to where 30, 32, and it does shape the way you go about things. It shapes the way I've coached.
Mention that you've coached some flags at the footy club.
Yeah, you coached 19s for a few years here, a couple of premierships, and one of the good things I got out of that, and you were coaching the A grade at the time, was the amount of players we were able to
push through
and to play A grade, and you know, several of them go on to play AFL, which I'm very proud of from that period. Coached the reserves and did quite well there with a very young side.
Yeah.
We decided to bring a young group on and have a go at that. But it shapes the way I go about my life, the way I deal with things when things get hard. It has taught me lessons right through that. And I think it does when you have been a person that's been involved here, you know, you go over that. It's nearly 17, 18, 20 years, including coaching and that. And the mark never leaves you. I enjoyed every minute of it. You know, the times, the big, you know, you enjoy playing. I miss the intensity of playing at that level.
Yeah.
But the times where we'd win a tough game and sit in the bath for an hour after the game and have three or four beers and two Balfour's pies or something like that and push Arnie, David Arnfield, into under the hot tank. Water and just things
that.
Like that.
He
did it to boost morale. Those days and the Sundays where we'd just put a couple of beers on and have a sing-song with yourself for the with the guitar and, you know, we'd get there at 9 o'clock and get home by 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Were great days, and I think those things built and were the foundation of that successful period. And it didn't matter whether you were playing reserves or whatever, we were all one group. Yeah. And that's the main thing I got out of that, and which I take into doing things in especially sport and coaching. It leaves its mark on me, the way you go about your life and that sort of thing as well.
Well, I think you wear Port Adelaide heart, sleeve and soul, and you're one of our bloody great players of the past, but one of the great blokes of today.
No worries.
A pleasure, Mark Todd.
Thanks very much, mate.
Cheers, Mark.